Psycho Man.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the Motorcycle Men podcast. This is episode 454. Hey, joining me today here in the V-Twin Cafe in the corner booth is Mr. Kevin Bulger of I Ride at Russia. Now, he has a tour company there in Tanzania, East Africa, and he's here to tell us all about that. But first, before we get into that great interview, let's talk about Motorcycle Men is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. Now, they're offering high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. So to learn more, visit ScorpionUSA.com. And Wild Ass Seats. Now, you can improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, get on over to wild-ass.com. and get your cushion today. Tell the real Craig Johnson that the Motorcycle Men podcast sent you on over. And as always, boys and girls, Tobacco Motorwear. For the best in casual riding gear for men and women, there's only one place you should be going, and that is Tobacco Motorwear. Now visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com, and our listeners will get 10% off your order when you use the code MOTOMEN. Everyone here at the podcast is wearing Tobacco Motorwear. We love the stuff, and we won't ride without it. Hey, your safety is worth it. So get on over to Tobacco Motorwear and get in Dave's pants. That's it. Time now for the interview with Kevin. All right, so here we are, boys and girls, once again in the fictitious V-Twin Cafe. And we're here talking with Kevin Bulger, who is the, I guess you could say, the owner-operator of I Ride Arusha tour company. Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Ted. Excited to chat with you today.
I'm glad you can make it. We're going to learn something new today. You know, we all watch videos of Itchy Boots going around the world, and of course she's been through Africa and all that and stuff. So, but your tour company is really interesting about some of the rides that you guys are doing. So before we get any further, why don't you tell us who you are, your motorcycle stuff, and what you do.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me again, Ted. So my name's Kevin Bulger. I'm originally from Chicago area. My motorcycle self, I guess I got started on motorcycles in my early 20s in Chicago. I bought a 125cc bike.
As we all have.
Yeah, of course. I had no background, no experience. I never got it plated. It was not street legal, which I don't recommend.
Right.
But that bike was awesome. It took me all over the city, places I never probably shouldn't have been going to, different neighborhoods, and it kind of just opened my eyes a little bit just to kind of how big the world really was.
Yeah.
I was only just in Chicago. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it, but yeah, I met my wife. I was living in Los Angeles, and she's originally from Tanzania.
Wow.
In East Africa. And we had visited Tanzania a couple times, and it's an amazing place, which I'm sure we'll get into, but I had ridden a motorcycle there, and all of a sudden I found myself in like the foothills of Kilimanjaro on a coffee farm, and I hadn't been on a motorcycle in like 10 or 15 years, probably since my early 20s. And we had always been looking for a way to get back to Tanzania to maybe try to start a business. We had both been working kind of corporate jobs, and I was just like, man, this is amazing. So the seed was sort of planted.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years ago, we quit our jobs. We moved to Tanzania and we started this motorcycle tour company with like very little experience or much of a plan.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, grew it from there.
Wow. Now, well, why don't you tell us about I Ride Arusha, which is I Ride Africa and your rentals. What basically inspired you to start this and just focus on motorcycle tours in East Africa and Tanzania?
Yeah, so I think, you know, my wife and I obviously love, you know, Tanzania. She's from there. You know, I started to realize like, wow, this is an amazing place. We really need to find a way to get more people here.
Right.
And of course, going on safaris is very popular and a great experience. But probably, as you know, Ted, like there's no seeing a place on two wheels is unlike anything else, right?
Right.
Somebody told me once, like, when you're in a car, it's like you're watching a movie. When you're on a motorcycle, it's like you're in the movie,
yeah.
You know? And so she loves Tanzania and wanted to, you know, of course, show off the country and speak Swahili, the native language, and knows all these cool places that are kind of off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were thinking about, okay, we want to do something in tourism, but we don't want to start just another safari company. There's literally a million of those.
Yeah.
But there's just a handful of motorcycle tour companies and rental companies in East Africa. So we really thought there was sort of an opportunity there.
Yeah.
The riding is, of course, amazing between the animals, the landscapes, the people, the culture. So we just thought, okay, maybe this is sort of a niche market that we can try to enter. And that was sort of the genesis of it.
Sure. Wow. Now, does your wife ride?
She rides a little bit. Yeah. She maybe knows, is smarter than me, you know.
Motorcycle spouses are smarter than us.
Yes, I can get her to ride on the back once in a while, but she likes to do a lot of the back office stuff and you know, help with customers.
Right.
So I'm usually the one out there, you know, cruising and trying to find new roads and all that fun stuff.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Well, let's ask you this question. How many actual tours do you have?
Well, on our website, we probably have, I think we have a 3, a 6, an 8, a 10, and like a 12 night. But everything is, of course, very customizable.
Right.
You know, we get riders that they want to come and rent a bike and do their own thing and explore and get lost. And then we have others that want something to be very curated and bespoke and sort of customized. So it's really fun that people inquire. And we can, of course, cater to sort of whatever they're looking for, whether it's, you know, a 2-day rental or a 12-night tour.
Right.
And with iRide Africa, we not only operate in Arusha, we also have partners in Nairobi, Kenya, and in Kigali, Rwanda.
So oh, wow.
What we're trying to do is build sort of like an Eagle Rider model, where you can start in one country and end in another, and you don't have to worry about circling back, you know, to the same place.
Right.
And so that's really our vision of building sort of a connected network of motorcycle tour and rental companies throughout the continent where riders can sort of experience more and do it on their own terms and have that sort of flexibility.
Oh,
so that's sort of our grand vision.
Oh, that's very interesting now. But how many people do you usually get on any one of your particular tours?
Yeah, so anywhere from, you know, 2 people on the low end, we can still do that and it's profitable for us, which is really fun too because you have a lot more flexibility.
Sure.
You don't have to have as structured of a sort of itinerary as a bigger group. And then the biggest group we've done is probably about 12 people.
Oh, wow.
I always find that, like once you get more than, really 10 is kind of my magic number, I feel like. Once you get a whole lot more than that, it just becomes like herding cats a little bit in my experience. But anywhere from 2 to 12. I actually have a bunch of riders from Chicago, my hometown. I actually, that's one of the ways that I try to reach out to people is through motorcycle kind of groups and organizations.
Yeah.
So it's actually a BMW riders club in Chicago. And they were very nervous about, hey, you know, we're BMW riders. We like tarmac. We don't go too off-road. But I can develop a tour for them that's about 70% tarmac and 30% off-road. So it's not too crazy.
Okay.
But then, of course, if you have, you know, the hardcore enduro riders that just want to eat dirt all day, we can definitely do that too. So that's the other cool thing is we kind of have something for everyone and every experience level as you're kind of riding.
All right. Now, I see that some of your tours are as short as 4 days and as long as 14 days. Now, with tours like those, which is your most popular as far as goes for the length?
Yeah, I think our most popular is kind of what I call like our 10-day signature tour.
So does that
where you do 7 days in northern Tanzania, and then we fly to Zanzibar, which is a tropical island off the coast of Tanzania.
Okay.
And we spend 3 nights there, and we do a full-day tour on classic Royal Enfield 350s.
Wow.
Along the island. So for that tour, you get we ride around Mount Kilimanjaro, which is sort of, people climb it a lot, but people don't ride around it very often. So it's not touristy. It's kind of a very cool cultural experience to see some places that there's not a whole lot of tourists. And then we ride into the Great Rift Valley, which goes, you know, from Mozambique all the way up to Egypt. You know, they call it the Valley of Kings. There's, you know, volcanoes and mountain ranges, and you're kind of riding in this beautiful, lush valley. And then we also go to Serengeti. That's off the bikes. We don't ride with the lions.
I would think riding with the lions would be better than walking with the lions.
Yes, yes, touche. So that we do get off the bikes and do a proper safari car for that, but it's kind of nice because we typically do, you know, 3 or 4 days of hard riding, and then you can have 1 or 2 days off the bikes to kind of chill you know, give yourself a rest. And then we get back on the bikes, circle around back to Arusha, which is sort of our base where most people sort of start and end their safaris. We fly to Zanzibar, which is, like I said, it's a very, it's a cool mix because the Omani Empire used to sort of own it. And then it was the, there's a huge Indian influence as well as sort of the Bantu East African influence. So culturally, wow. Architecturally, it's a very dynamic area. And so people really like that tour because it gives you a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
The mountains, the animals, and then we kind of chill on the beach at the end of it. So wow. It's really nice.
Do you get any couples riding two up?
We do get some couples riding two up. I actually have a couple. Yeah, I get a couple. I have a couple coming in February that are going to do. We have a 3-night tour actually, which is perfect.
Okay.
I actually have. I don't know if it's just been this year, but I've had a couple honeymoon couples
that
come. And I had a great couple, Gio and Eleonora. Shout out from Northern Italy. They came on their honeymoon, and I was trying to make it, you know. Yeah, a little bit romantic for them. And hey, like, we'll give you guys some time off the bikes to go to a nice dinner. And they were like, Kevin, we don't want anything romantic. We just want to ride. We want to get dirty. Like,
all right. Great. Wow. Okay.
So, it is really fun. If you're looking for an adventurous honeymoon, it's definitely a great thing to do.
And where do you find most of your people coming from?
A little bit all over. I mean, mostly Europe and the United States.
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely trying to get more people from the U.S. out here. It's definitely a long flight.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get to. And it takes, you know, basically 24 hours to get here from the U.S., depending where you're coming
really?
From.
I guess there's a bunch of stops, though, right?
Yeah, you can go through Amsterdam or the Middle East, and it's, you know, typically a 10-hour flight and then like an 8-hour flight. So it's not easy to get to, but that's why... Typically, most people want to spend like, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But honestly, Ted, we've had customers from all over. I had some guys from Bahrain in the Middle East come. They were the type of guys that, hey, we want to ride. We want to cook our own food. They brought their own tents. You know, they really like to rough it.
Yeah.
And then we've had people from Australia, all over Europe.
That must be, I guess Australia, I guess it's probably just as far away. That's coming from the U.S.
Yeah, not easy for sure. A lot from the United Kingdom, Western Europe, which is a little bit easier to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. But yeah, anywhere and everywhere, really.
Wow. Can you tell me what your most popular guided tour that you have and what riders can expect to see along the way?
Yeah, I think so. The 10-day is definitely, you know, up there. I think the other one is some people like to come and, you know, they maybe do a traditional safari.
Is that the Northern Tanzania, the epic Northern Tanzania Moto Adventure? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep, exactly, on iRideArusha.com. But then we also have a 3-night tour. So some people come and if they're maybe doing a safari or doing other stuff, but they just don't have a whole lot of time, they want to do 3 nights. For that one, what we do is we go... through the back roads, through Maasai villages, which are a popular sort of tribe here. They're probably the ones that you've ever seen on, you know, they wear the big neck beads and have very long necks. We go to a place called Chemka Hot Springs, which is a natural hot spring sort of in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
And then we ride up into the foothills of Mount Kilimanjaro to a place called Mataruni Village.
Okay.
And we stay at sort of a local sort of guest house that's really nice and it overlooks Kilimanjaro. And then we ride down the mountain around East Kilimanjaro. That's sort of that area that I mentioned that is not touristy at all.
Wow.
You've got very big, like, forests with lots of conifers. Probably looks like some of the mountains of North Carolina at times, honestly.
Wow.
And then we stay in West Kilimanjaro. And we also actually take people. My wife's grandma lives in a village called Sanya Ju. And she's 88 years old and still farms for herself.
She has
chickens and goats. So we take people there for lunch. Wow. They love it because it's just sort of an atmosphere and environment that you would never find yourself in otherwise. And then we go to Arusha National Park, which is a really cool area. And we stay on this lake right in basically the foothills of another popular mountain called Mount Meru. And again, you're in the Maasai village. It's kind of a very, very local experience. And we typically do this. I'm sure we can talk about bikes. We have our two main bikes are, it's called the Kibo 250 CC bike. It's actually made in Kenya. It's designed for East Africa. So very durable, good for on-road or off-road. And then we have the Royal Enfield 450, the new Himalayan.
Yeah.
So those, you know, it's interesting, like, some people come with the mindset they're used to bigger bikes and they say, oh, a 250, I want something bigger. But really, you don't need anything bigger for the type of riding and trails we're doing. You know, right. Heaven forbid that bike falls or you drop it or it gets caught on your foot. You know, they're very light, very maneuverable, and they're really great. But some people do want something a little more premium. So we do offer the Royal Enfield 450s that have a little more pop.
Right.
I don't know your philosophy. I always say it's better to ride a slow bike fast than a fast bike slow.
And
so the 250s are great because you can really throttle them up. But if anybody wants the 450, we can kind of offer that as well.
Now, although I guess those bikes are best suited for the East African terrain in Tanzania then.
Yeah, we work really closely. It's a Dutch company, but they're actually assembled in Kenya. So we give a lot of our feedback quarterly, and then they incorporate that feedback into the new models. But super reliable, you know, they've broken down, and our guide Simon can, you know, we've broken down in an area called it's a wildlife management area called Endumet. So it's actually a place where you can ride, and there's giraffes there and zebras, so you can actually see the animals from the back of your bike. But we've broken down there, and our guide Simon, you know, is fixing the bike, and there's giraffes around us and zebras, and we're literally in the middle of nowhere. But you can get them going again. So
That's cool. So I was going to ask you, what kind of support do the riders get during an active tour, in both terms of, you know, guides and maintenance and, you know, if the bike needs work.
Yeah, exactly. So typically, our main guide, kind of our right-hand man, his name's Simon. He's had a long history of working on Royal Enfields, and now he's super well-versed in the Kibos. So he's our guide, but also sort of our mechanic. So if anything breaks down, he's the go-to guy. I mean, I've seen him take the battery out of a bike and jumpstart another bike with just the battery. It's kind of kind of absurd. And, you know, the local guys here, they're so used to having to, you know, fix things and make things with very little resources, so they're incredibly resourceful, and nothing really scares him. So there will be situations where I'm sort of panicking a little bit, and Simon's just like, "Be cool, man, be cool." And that's sort of the Swahili culture and the nature of the people is just they don't panic; they're very relaxed. So we're sort of a good yin and yang with me and my Western mindset, and you know, freaking out over small things, and he kind of calms me down a little bit. But we always have him. We always have a follow car with all the main spare parts. So, you know, if anything does, you know, happen, we typically have, you know, extra clutches, rims, tires, spark plugs, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And then the other cool thing about Tanzania is there's such a motorbike culture that there's really a bike shop literally on every corner. And people, again, are so friendly. So if you need spare parts or someone to help you out, they can do that. And a lot of the parts, especially for the Kibos, are interchangeable with a lot of like the local Chinese bikes. So, you know, 80% of the parts, if you need something, can probably work in the Kibo, at least in the short term. So super, super comfortable. And I think that's a huge thing, Ted, of people coming to Africa, you know, sort of the dark continent, and kind of being scared about, is there infrastructure? Is it safe? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm from Chicago, Ted, and like, I feel safer in Tanzania than I ever do, living in Chicago.
Yeah.
Sorry to say. So for people that are, there's a lot of customer education that has to happen when people are talking about, you know, Tanzania, and it's understandably so. There's not, you know, it's not like going to Vegas for the weekend or something, It's a little bit scary for people. So kind of shifting that mindset and giving them a little bit of an education that, hey, when you're with us, we're literally going to hold your hand through the entire process from the minute you land at the airport to the minute we drop you off. You're going to be with us, and you're going to be in great hands.
Wow. But that first day when people arrive, they must be exhausted from travel. Is there like, do you have that like pause moment before we start riding? We're going to give you a day to relax, kind of a thing.
Yeah, no, that's a great call. We definitely do. We usually, you know, they land depending on what time. We take them to the hotel, and that next day is sort of what we call a flex day. Yeah. We get them to see the bikes, make sure everything feels comfortable, give them a bit of a tutorial. We do sort of a cultural briefing. If people are up for it, we do a bit of a test ride to a place called Mungu Crater, which is just about 45 minutes outside of Arusha. It's a huge volcanic crater that you can kind of ride around. So just a very chill day to test out the bikes.
Sure.
or if people need a little bit more time just to chill, get any last minute provisions, we kind of make that happen too. And that's the benefit, again, of sometimes when you have smaller groups, you don't have to have a super regimented itinerary. So we kind of like to, you know, whatever our clients need or how they're feeling, we can make it work.
Okay. Well, now let's talk about your destinations a little bit. How do you choose the destinations for your tours? So you got Serengeti National Park, and I'm going to say this wrong. Ngorongoro. Okay. But how do you decide that this is the places you're going to go, or does it vary every time?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, like a lot of it's based on customer feedback because, you know, people are coming to Tanzania. For a lot of people, Serengeti is a bucket list item, right? You're probably only in East Africa once. You want to go to the famous sort of Serengeti. So we do have that option on a couple of our tours.
Okay.
But then you get other people that are like, look, I just want to ride all day. I don't care where we go. I want to see the country. Yeah. I want to explore.
Yeah.
And for them, going to some of the big landmarks isn't as big of a deal. So right. We also try to offer, you know, some of those options.
Yeah, I like that idea.
But Serengeti, of course, is sort of the iconic. Ngorongoro Crater is also one of the iconic. You basically go into this volcanic caldera, it's called, and it's got the highest population of mammals in the world. So okay. It's just like teeming with wildlife, and they do a really good job of controlling and making sure it's not too touristy. You can only be in there for about 6 hours at a time, and then you have to come out. We go to another place called Tarangire National Park, which is certainly popular, but we just do a full day game drive there, and that's where you can see all of the animals as well. Mm-hmm. So that's for people that maybe you don't have as much time to go into the Serengeti, but you do want to do a proper safari.
Yeah,
we can get you in there. But then we like to go to a lot of off the beaten path places. Lake Iasi is a place that is much less traveled, but great for off-road riding, exploring and seeing different like local people as well. And then, of course, like I said, riding around that east side of Kili, you get all different sorts of landscapes, right. Very little tourists, and can kind of give you a very authentic feel of what Tanzania is really like.
Okay. Now, so speaking of Tanzania, what makes riding through Tanzania on a motorcycle different from those who want to do it in a safari vehicle?
Yeah, I mean, I think so when you're in a safari vehicle, especially if you're going to these very, very popular places,
yeah.
You're going to see 50 other safari vehicles.
Oh,
and at times,
really?
you're going to be bumper to bumper. And if someone spots a lion, you're all crowding around it. And it's honestly not the best experience.
Right.
There's actually been a lot on social media this past summer, you know, the Great Migration, when the animals are coming down across the Maasai Mara from Kenya into Tanzania, it's that they cross a river, and it's a very sort of iconic thing. But there was actually so many tourists that these cars were blocking the actual migration, and animals couldn't get through. And it was a very controversial thing because you're kind of supposed to be letting the animals do their thing and just observing. But because it's gotten so popular, there's just trucks and cars everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Versus when you're on a motorcycle, you can go to places that, frankly, the cars can't go, on small sort of off the beaten path trails.
Sure.
Places like my wife's grandma's house where there's, you know, this is not a touristy area,
right.
And trucks can't even really get to it.
Yeah.
So that is, I think, the biggest thing. And that's what we're starting to actually offer both now.
Okay.
Because, you know, motorcycle tourism, that's our main thing. But a lot of times our clients, they go on a motorcycle tour with us, but then they go on a safari with someone else, where I started to say, hey, we should just be offering this full package.
Yeah.
So if you want to go on like a 3 or 5 night tour with us on motorcycles, we can do it. But then we can also take you on a proper safari in the car into the Serengeti if you want to do
that. Okay. So now that brings me to the flexibility for riders who maybe want to customize their own routes and maybe experience their own tours with other activities. Is that something you can do also?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So it's like, you know, a big goal of ours for next year is I want to start offering self-guided tours, because like I said, we have a fair amount of riders that they want to explore and do their own thing. They don't necessarily want to be in a group. So that's a big goal for Q1 for us, is I want to make sure we've got all of our GPX tracks. And if someone wants to come, I can say, hey, I'll book all your hotels. Here are some awesome routes. What do you want to see? Where do you want to go? And just give them the routes and tracks, and they can kind of have their own adventure. So we can absolutely do that. Another really popular thing that some people like to do, and this goes back to sort of the varied landscapes of Tanzania is we have an area called the Usambara Mountains, which are twisty mountain roads kind of overlooking entire valleys. And you can ride from northern Tanzania and Arusha through the Usambara Mountains all the way to the Tanzanian coast, and then ride around sand and all sorts of different off-road stuff there to Dar es Salaam, which is the sort of capital on the Indian Ocean. So that's another tour I want to start offering, because not a lot of safaris do that.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a way to see the country that most people don't really get a chance to.
Wow. What if, hypothetically, and I don't know if this has ever happened, we're going to find out. Somebody says, you know what, I want to bring my own bike. You have that?
Yeah, we've dealt with a couple of overlanders who are, you know, a lot of people I think will start in South Africa nowadays, or they'll even start in Morocco, and I think go across the western coast. But there are people that have done that, and absolutely, we can put together a tour for them. Again, I want to start offering those self-guided, because those tend to be the folks that have their own bike that you know, they want to go off and do their own thing. We've actually done some storage for people for times if they need, hey, I need to stop in Tanzania and go back to my home country, but then I want to come back and restart my tour. So that's something we don't really advertise it, but we can offer it. And then, of course, facilitating if you're trying to transport a bike to or from, whether it's within Tanzania or abroad, that's something we can do as well. So we, like I said, we really want to be that sort of one-stop shop for anyone that's looking to explore Africa on a motorcycle.
Okay. Now, in that particular case, if somebody does bring their own bike, when it comes to maintenance issue repairs, are they on their own in that case, or does your staff still have the ability to take care of them?
Yeah, so we can definitely still take care of them. If they're on one of our guided tours, you know, absolutely.
Yeah.
If they need to purchase a new spare part, you know, they would be on the hook for that a little bit.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to start offering, I'd be curious to get your thoughts on this, Ted, is, you know, potentially someone that's, you know, obviously maybe going to go on a tour, but just thinking about, you know, and knows a lot about motorcycles, is right now when someone rents a motorcycle from us, sometimes we'll give them a little bit of oil, we'll give them a spanner if they need to change a spare tire and everything, and we kind of do that for free.
Yeah.
But I want to start offering what I want to call like a maintenance upgrade, where we give them some basic spare parts. You know, some cartridges if they need to fill it, you know, fill a tube, and sort of like a little bit more of a comprehensive package.
Yeah.
And charge them like $5 or $7 a day. So that way, if you're on your own in the middle of nowhere, of course you can call us and we'll kind of walk you through anything. But in that case, you would literally have everything you need to handle any minor maintenance issues.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? What should I be charging for that per day? In my mind, I was like $7 a day for a little bit additional peace of mind, but I'm open to your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm not really the right guy to ask about that, because I haven't done any type of adventure riding. I don't know what, I mean, the CO2 cartridges that you guys are using, I've used those plenty of times on my for cycling. So they're not that expensive. Having those on hand is great. Having the what you call the adapters for those to go onto motorcycle valves, that works perfect. Things like that, tubes. Oh, geez, possibly, but there's so many. You can't guarantee that everybody's going to be riding the same kind of bike and having the same kind of tires and the same kind of 19 inch, 20 inch. You don't know that unless if you're going to be doing these tours with a massive truck everything in it, you know. But I guess you could prepare, you know, okay, we have 14 people going on this tour, and you know, six of them have BMWs, or, you know, three of them have Royal Enfields. So you can kind of prepare in that sense, I suppose, you know. But then you're talking about really customizing your operation to suit the needs of everyone that comes in.
And in this case, I'm talking about mostly just for our, like, when they rent one of our Kibos or the Royal Enfields, to say, hey, here's a bit of a package of all basic tools and spare parts. Because what I found in this business is, like, the tours are really where you can make money when you get six or eight or ten people. The rentals are kind of what keep the lights on. So I'm always trying to figure out how can we add more value to customers, but also find some opportunities to sort of improve our margins a little bit, because you know, the margins on the rentals, if you rent a bike for me for 2 days, it's great. But It's not a huge moneymaker, and heaven forbid if something goes wrong, you know, we're kind of on the hook to kind of retrieve the bike or figure out what to do. And fortunately, we maintain our bikes well, so that hasn't happened. But I'm waiting for the shoe to drop on that one.
Wait, you know, it's I suppose charging them a flat fee overall, you know, for an additional $50 will give you a maintenance package also. That might be something to consider. But again, it's like buying like that just in case insurance.
Exactly.
You know, you may never need it. So am I throwing $50 away or am I, you know, that time? So this, that's something you really got to think about though.
Yeah. So I'm starting to kind of just ask different people, get perspectives. So I'm thinking through what that could look like.
Yeah. Getting back to your tours, I mean, is there any one hidden gem or one of those lesser known destinations that your tours include that often surprise your guests?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think one of the guest favorites is in an area in West Kilimanjaro. It's called Matadi. Very, very rural area, lots of farming. It's basically in the foothills of Mount Kilimanjaro, so you can kind of see the snow-capped top of it.
Wow.
But we take guests to a 5,000-acre family-run farm, and they actually farm wheat and barley, and they actually sell it to a lot of the local breweries. So you go here, and it just feels like you're staying with family. The food is basically farm to table, really great food. They have, you know, natural, really nice houses that they've built, and you're just overlooking this entire valley because, like I said, it's up in the foothills. You can do a farm tour with the actual owner who puts you in the back of his, you know, open air land cruiser and talks to you all about farming and the history of the land. And then you can do a short hike to an area called the Shira Plateau, where we have a sundowner cocktail, kind of overlooking Kilimanjaro, watching the sunset. That is always, you know, my personal favorite. I love it so much. I took my wife there for our anniversary this year.
Oh, there you go.
But the guests absolutely love it too, because you're in this very rural area, and then you pull up to it, and you just really can't believe, wow, this is spectacular, and I'm literally in the middle of nowhere.
Wow. Now, when you're on these tracks, for example, your GPX route. Is it going to be taking riders down single track, double track, dirt roads, paved roads? What do you get? You getting like a mixture of everything?
Yeah, you're absolutely getting a mixture of everything. And that's another thing that, you know, we're always trying to kind of vet the riders out a little bit, you know, because some people say, oh, yeah, I'm very experienced off road. And then you kind of get them off road and not quite as much. Right. And so typically on the first day, to your earlier question, one thing we do, too, is we take them to this kind of off-road area where they do some motocross racing, actually.
Oh, wow.
And we just have people kind of go up some of the berms and kind of get a feel for things. And that gives myself and our guide, Simon, a good sense of, okay, you know, how comfortable are people off-road here? Does anyone need a little bit extra coaching? Should I make sure somebody rides directly behind me? And that can dictate the routes a little bit. But yeah, to your point, like there's something for everyone, right? There's tons of tarmac if you want to do that, twisty mountain roads that are super fun, all different types of off-road, you know, the hard rocky stuff, fast flowy stuff, sand, loose dirt, gravel. So it's like really, really amazing riding. I've had guys that are very experienced kind of that were pleasantly surprised, thinking like, hey, I've done a lot of enduro hardcore off-roading. This is kind of on par with a lot of the riding that they've done, you know?
Wow.
So
okay.
There's literally something for everyone. And we try to, like I said, you know, safety always being the number one priority, make sure that we can kind of take people and go at the appropriate speed and pace and route based on everyone's levels.
Wow, that's great. Now I noticed that on your website, there's an adventure quiz.
Yes.
Now, I guess the adventure quiz would be the thing that would help you point people in the right direction, what kind of tour they're going to do.
Yeah, so that's you know, that's another thing about owning a company, is you wear a lot of hats, right? As you know, Ted, so you're the financial person, the marketing person. So I guess the old model for marketing was, you know, someone would come to your website and you'd want to give them like a free PDF download of, hey, here's my essential packing list, or hey, here's my favorite places to go, or whatever. But now I think, you know, this quiz model is becoming a little bit more popular, where you're adding value to someone by giving them a quiz and sort of educating them a little bit about whatever product or service you're offering.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of my thought. I don't know if this is working or has worked yet, but I appreciate
it. I'm going to do it. I appreciate you bringing it up.
So
I'm going to do the quiz.
It's kind of a little bit of a hook, candidly, but also it asked, I think, 9 questions around what sort of riding do you typically like to do? Are you the type that likes to, you know, just get lost and you don't really care about the destination and you want to stop and have a coffee along the way? Are you the thrill seeker that wants to do all sorts of hardcore off-roading and do a lot of speed? Are you the cultural connector, I think, is one of the ones that you really want to have some cool experiences off the bike, you know, and get to meet local people and learn about sort of how people live, you know? Right. I think that's pretty cool. So when you take the quiz, you can kind of find out what sort of a rider you are. And then it also lists which of our tours might correspond to the type of rider that you are, whether you're an explorer, a cultural connector, a thrill seeker, whatever it may be.
I see. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. Cause I'm going through the quiz and I'm answering these questions. I'm going like, wow, it's more opposite of what I thought I was.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And some people are always a little bit mix of both, but I think then what's cool is if you take that, you put your email down, you immediately get your results, and then you get a couple suggested of our tours that might be interesting based on your riding style. So I'm hoping it can be a bit of a hook,
yeah,
to educate people a bit, to have some fun, but then hopefully reach out and say, hey, I'm an explorer. I want to do your 6-day, you know, Kilimanjaro's foothills tour. Let's do it.
Yeah, wow.
And really for us, like, it's kind of hitting on, you know, you asked earlier about like what's different about, you know, a safari versus a motorcycle safari. For us, like, we're going to have a ton of fun riding, but we want the bikes to be the tool to the wider experience. You know what I mean? We're going to ride, we're going to see awesome things.
Yeah.
But it's really the experiences we do off the bike that are going to be memorable and leave you feeling like, wow, I saw a bit of Tanzania that I don't think anyone else really has.
Wow.
And I'll give you 2 examples. Like, for my Chicago group that's coming, one of them is really into beekeeping. I don't know much of the history there, but she was like, can we do something? So sure enough, we're going to take them again into the foothills of Kilimanjaro, and it's called Beetopia. And
really?
They work with the local population and do a lot of bee conservation, and they make and sell natural honey, and we're going to do a honey tasting. And then for that same tour, in another area, we're going to do a Maasai medicine experience where a Maasai elder is going to walk us through all the different plants and sort of natural medicine that they use and the different use cases for it. And that's going to be another kind of cool experience off the bike. So these Wow. are the things that sort of we want to do and expose people, you know, to all of those situations and experiences off the bike that you might not get otherwise on Yeah. sort of a typical safari.
Wow. Okay. That's really cool. I just got my results back from my quiz. And apparently I'm an explorer.
Ah, of course. That makes sense, man. Just knowing a little bit about your background and sort of history, I think that sounds about right.
You know, it's like it's my mountain bike background that I think that led to that result.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there's what better, you can't be anything better than an explorer in this life, hopefully, right?
Of course not. Absolutely. So looking ahead, how do you see iRide Russia expanding its tours and rental services across East Africa?
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, our big goal is to really be sort of like an Eagle Rider, where we have outposts yeah. in every city. And if you come and you want to see 3 different countries, you can do that through us. So right now, we operate in Arusha, which is in northern Tanzania. We're opening a location in Dar es Salaam, which is a city of about 8 million people on the Indian Ocean.
Okay.
So that's going to connect those 2 locations. And then what we want to start doing is we want to start partnering with other existing motorcycle tour and rental companies in other locations.
Mm-hmm.
So ideally, we'll have a partner in South Africa where if someone wants to reach out to us, we can offer them services in South Africa to rent a bike or go on a tour and hopefully build this connected network. And like I said, really start making riding and experience in Africa much more approachable and help people make it feel safe and more manageable to do.
Right.
Because right now, that our whole kind of theory on the business was, you know, yeah, we can start and be an independent operator and maybe that would be okay. But if we can find partners throughout the continent, we can all hopefully rise together and help show off this amazing place to people from all over the world. And so that's sort of our North Star that we're hoping to do, you know, step by step.
Okay. In that light of expanding out, do you have, I realize it's quite a ways away, but getting into Lake Victoria, do you have anything that's going to lead out that way?
I definitely am hoping to do that. And actually, that's sort of happening organically because we just had a guy that hit us up. He wants to see the gorillas in Rwanda,
right,
and then he wants
yeah.
to go to Serengeti. So yeah. again, one of these like bucket list experiences.
Sure.
So we're actually kind of putting together a bespoke tour for him where he's going to spend 5 days in Rwanda and see the gorillas. But then he's going to ride into Tanzania and he'll stop in Mwanza, which is a city on Lake Victoria.
Okay.
A beautiful city. It's called the City of Rocks because there's all these huge natural rock formations mm-hmm. there. And then he'll ride into Tanzania, sort of where we are as well.
Okay.
The other big opportunity there is Lake Victoria. It also touches Uganda and Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
So with our partners in Kenya, we want to offer actually a full loop tour where you can start in Kenya, go all the way around Uganda, Rwanda, Tanzania, and end up again in Kenya. So
oh, wow.
that's as we keep building out these partnerships,
sure.
the opportunities are going to be kind of endless. And it's just a matter of continuing to find that sort of product market fit on,
yeah.
you know, what do people want to do when they come here? And how can we keep finding, you know, and letting people know about, hey, we're a business here that's operating and, you know, come find us.
Okay. Well, how do you, in tours like that, how do you handle the large crowds? When I say large crowds, I mean your tour group. How do you handle that with the border crossings?
Yeah. So a lot of it is, you know, expectation setting. And I find like most of the people that come and visit us in East Africa, they're fairly well traveled. You know, it's not their first like international trip.
Yeah.
So and they understand, look, I'm coming to East Africa. You know, things aren't going to operate the way they do or as organized or as structured in the Western world. Right. And that's part of the fun. But you definitely have to educate people to let them know that, like, hey, time doesn't work the same here. You have to really kind of put on you have to put on your island time hat and understand
yeah.
that's sort of the fun and adventure. And, you
yeah.
know, maybe you have to stop and have another beer and it's no big deal, right?
Yeah.
But border crossings, pretty straightforward. We basically do a letter of authorization that gets stamped with our sort of business stamp, which is very popular here to know that you're a legitimate business. So
yeah.
you basically say, hey, this group or this person or this bike is legal allowed to cross the border and it, you know, the bike belongs to us. And then you fill out some very basic paperwork at the border
mm-hmm.
and it's typically pretty straightforward. The border crossings, actually, you do get a lot of people that are crossing on motorbikes for tourism
yeah.
and a lot of them, depending on the crossing, even know us by now. So they're used to sort of
okay.
seeing our group or seeing our riders.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, we would call it a 10,000 shilling note, which is equivalent to like $4. Sometimes sliding one of those across to someone gets things moving a little bit quicker, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of depends sort of on the day and how that works. But typically very straightforward. As long as you have your passport, we have the letter of authorization and then the title and registration for the bike, and it's no big deal.
Oh, excellent. Good. That's good. So what, getting to the last question, a couple of last questions is how can people learn more about iRide or, you know, your iRide Africa and your rentals and Tanzania and all that?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, our website is iRideArusha.com. Our Instagram is the same, iRideArusha. If you're familiar with the website madornomad.com, they're basically, it's a cool site. It has kind of blogs and information for riders, countries all over the world. We have a big write-up there about iRide Africa and the services we offer in each of the different countries. Again, Rwanda, Tanzania, and Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you could also email me, kevin@iRideArusha.com, if you want to talk about planning a tour. But those are probably the best ways to check us out, Ted.
All right. Excellent. Any closing words for someone on the fence about signing up and riding with you guys?
Yeah, I think just don't be scared. You know, like I said, coming to Africa, to Tanzania for a lot of people is a big like mental block.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried about, you know, the medical, the safety. And, you know, I've been living there for 2 years now. I feel totally safe. The people are amazing. The experience you're going to have is amazing. And that's something I didn't really touch on with us, of like the customer service aspect is super, super important to us. Mm-hmm. And like I said, Tanzania has a very kind of laid back culture, which is an amazing thing. But sometimes when it comes to customer service, people are a little bit too laid back. And for us, I'm very passionate about it. If you're committing to come do a tour or rental with us, like, yeah, I said, we're going to hold your hand through the entire thing. Make sure you feel very comfortable, very safe. And at the end of the day, I want to make sure you have an amazing experience. So you go back and tell all your friends, and hopefully they come out and see us as well. So that would be sort of my sort of pitch to people. And the other thing is, like, Tanzania specifically has everything. We have beaches, we have mountains, we have the savannas, we have forests, we have all sorts of different riding. And if that's something you're into, you definitely have to check it out. And it really should be on your bucket list.
Excellent. Well, Kevin, listen, I want to thank you very much for being on the show and telling me and all of my listeners all about Tanzania and your riding adventures you guys have. Greatly appreciated. And hopefully we can talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Ted. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Don't go anywhere. I want to talk to you when we're done, but thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The Motorcycle Men Podcast is supporting David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. If you would like to help and be a part of something that makes a difference, donate today to David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. Go to davidsdreamandbelieve.org to donate. Links will also be in the show notes. And, of course, the Gold Star Ride Foundation, helping families of fallen soldiers and making a difference in the lives of those left behind. So if you'd like to be a part of a great cause and get some heartfelt miles in, go to goldstarride.org and learn how you can participate in the next Gold Star Ride. Thank you for joining me and Kevin here in the V-Twin Cafe, where he told us all about I Ride a Russia, tours, and rental. Now, you can learn more about them by getting on over to www.iRideARussia.com. Links will be in the show notes and, of course, on the Motorcycle Men website at motomenpc.com. All right, don't forget to get on over to the Ride with Ted YouTube channel and watch some of the many videos I have there. And if you would please also like and subscribe, that would be a tremendous help to the channel and, of course, to the podcast. Hey, for the rest of the Motorcycle Men team, thanks for listening. And remember, boys and girls, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. Ride safely, kids.